May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is Mother's Day. What does it mean to be a mom? It's got to be more than just getting a muffin and a flower one day a year, right? There's something more to it than that, right? There's the love, the sacrifice, the willingness to do whatever they can for their kids, the desire for their kids to have it all, to be it all. It's being a mom. So maybe try to think of it this way. If you had to sum up being a mom in one picture, one snapshot, what would that image be? Is it the young woman in the hospital gown, in the hospital bed, hair kind of tousled, no makeup, gazing at that newborn in her arms? That covers some of it, right? The sacrifice, the pain, the love in her face, the joy. Or maybe your picture of motherhood would be the mom with the child on her lap reading a book to her kid. At the same time, giving that comfort and that education. And if that book's the Bible, well, then you add the spiritual upbringing that she wants to give her child as well. That's being a mom. Or maybe your picture has more of the purpose, the end goal in mind, and it's the mom dropping her child off at college. Her face conflicted with so many emotions, wanting with all her heart that child to succeed and to put into practice all that she's been training it for, and at the same time, the sorrow of saying goodbye. Or maybe similarly, it's the mother-son dance at the wedding as she hands off her son to another woman, knowing that the only way that he can be what she has wanted him to be is if he has the opportunity to do all the things that she's trained, and so mom has to let go. But mom really never lets go, does she? Moms are good. Happy Mother's Day. But today is not just Mother's Day. Today is also the day we celebrate the festival of the Ascension of our Lord, one of these festivals that shows us who Jesus is and what he does for us. And yes, the Bible does say that God comforts us like a mother comforts her child, but Jesus is not our mother. That said, I do think that the picture of a mother's love and what she's willing to do for her child help us to understand the truths that Ascension teaches. Because on this day, Jesus left. He had been with his disciples physically for over 3 years, teaching them, training them, nurturing them, caring for them, laughing with them, crying with them. He had provided for them, took care of them, and now he left. But he doesn't really leave them. As we learn from our readings today, as they describe Jesus' ascension into heaven, we realize the resurrection reality that though he leaves, he is now closer than ever. The ascension is a good thing for us because he ascended in order to keep his promises for all of us. He ascended in order to take that position of honor and power and authority over all things for us. He ascended to bless. He ascended to bless each of us, and he ascended to bless his church. So look at the text here from Ephesians 4. It starts with the truth that the ascended Christ gives to each of us gifts of his grace. right? Each of us individually, exactly what we need to be what he has made us, precisely which gifts will be for our good. And then he quotes the psalm that had prophesied the Messiah who would take captives and who would give gifts. He takes captive everything that tries to take us captive from him. Real literally, it could be translated, he takes captivity captive. And then he gives gifts. And in the middle of our text, then, you'll notice why. He says so that we become mature, so that we grow up into him, grasping all that Christ is for us. That's why he's done what he's done. Look at verse 14. I'll read that one. He says, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Think about it. Mom does not drop off a two-week-old at college, right? First, she feeds and trains and teaches and nurtures so that it will be ready. She does her work to make it so that her child can one day do all of those things for him or herself. Jesus ascended only because he first descended. He first did what we needed him to do to make us what he has made us. He came down to earth, to the depths, to suffer, to die, to work, to pay the price. He set aside the full use of his divine power in order to accomplish what we need. Only then, having completed all of that, he ascended to heaven, reclaiming his position of power and authority, reclaiming that role on the throne, ruling over all things for us. So now, in that position of power, he is able to be with us always to the very end of the age, like he promised just before he ascended. Now, in that position of power, he is able to keep his promise to never leave us or forsake us. Now, in this position of power, he blesses us with what we need, because we needed him. Yeah, I already read the passage about how he didn't want us to be like infants. He didn't want us to be blown back and forth by all the different teachings out there. But truth be told, that's exactly where we would have been. And that's exactly where we still sometimes try to go. Think about it. We are way too easily influenced by foolishness. You know, a celebrity wears a certain ridiculous-looking and uncomfortable style, but suddenly that's cool. We get misled by foolishness. There is no other possible explanation for bell bottoms, or for the tuck and roll a few years later, or for wearing your pants hanging down to your thigh. There's no other reason except we get misled by foolishness. And it's not just style, right? You hang around people who like to gossip, and pretty quickly that becomes your second tongue. You hang around people who idolize money, and before you know it, your priorities are shifting. You hang around those who swear like a sailor, and soon you're ready for the Navy. You hang around those people who don't respect God's gift of marriage and his intentions for it, and soon that affects how you think and act. I could give you examples all day, but you know. That's why it's really good, for a couple of reasons, that Jesus ascended. First, it means that he completed the work that he descended to do, to suffer hell for every one of our failures, for all the times we do get blown around. And second, he ascended in order to give us blessings, blessings that strengthen us, that give us that firm foundation so we aren't so easily blown around. He gives us those blessings. Did you notice some of the blessings he named? Look at verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. He gave the apostles and prophets to give you his word, the Bible, right? He gave you the evangelists to spread that word, to get it so that you heard about it. He gives you pastors and teachers to give you a mooring so that you're not so easily blown around, to help to grow your faith to maturity so that you're not an infant. And he gives you this church. That's where we transition to the second part. He ascended to bless his church. And really, the two parts are completely intertwined, because he blesses the church to be a blessing to us, that he has made the church to be the church that he uses to bless us. Make sense? So now, look at our text. He says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The church is the body of Christ. When Jesus was here, you could look at him to see what God looked like and how God acted. Now he has ascended, and he says, we are the body of Christ. We are the ones that people can look to see what God is like, to see how God acts. Our work that we are connected together to do represents him, because he made us what we are. So think about that picture. Every different part of the body, with all of their different functions linked together, and everyone so important, right? The muscles, absolutely necessary. The bones, necessary. The skin, necessary. The ligaments tying everything together, necessary. The nerve endings, necessary. All of them necessary to be doing their part for the good of the body. And now he says, we are the body of Christ. You know, that's why we call being a member. We're a body part. Today we get to welcome 6 new members into our church body. Each of them that God has specifically made with their specific abilities and what they do to be a blessing as this church works together. And as they make their promises, they will be promising to do exactly what most of you have already promised to be and to do, to be regular in worship and Bible study. Because God designed this so that one of the gifts he gave to the church, the pastors and teachers, can build you up, can strengthen you to do what he has given you to do, to make you mature so that you aren't so easily blown around by all the other influences out there. They'll be promising to use their time, talents, and abilities for the work of this church, giving their offerings and volunteering their time and praying their prayers so that together we can do the work of the church, because the body needs all its parts doing that body part's part. And the interesting, the cool thing about all this is that it is the church, it is you working together that God used to connect them to his word here at church. All of them have similar stories, but I'll start with Tina's. 10 years ago, a decade ago, a couple of canvassers, members of the church, knocked on her door and introduced Abiding Grace to her, invited her, and put her name on our mailing list. And then every month for the last decade, some of our members have prepared those newsletters and taken them to the post office and given those regular invitations, and others have gone on visits and encouraged and invited. And actually, a couple years after that first Canvas visit, she brought her great-grandkids to Vacation Bible School. That so many of you used your particular gifts and abilities to make a wonderful experience for those children as they grew in God's Word. And then they came to worship after that and got to see you as a body using your gifts to sing God's praise and how exciting that is. And those that handed the bulletin or prepared the refreshments or did the music or all different things, just being a friendly face that welcomed them. And then, over the next few years, there were more invitations and some phone calls and some visits and Easter for kids and Christmas for kids that you used your gifts for. Or you could go to Cassandra. Hers was 8 years ago when the canvassers knocked on her door and gave an invitation for Fall Festival that so many of you gave of your time and ability to make be a wonderful chance to connect to the Word. Do you see what's happening here as God uses all of the different parts of the body to connect even more to the body, and now the new ones and the old ones together get to keep working and doing this amazing work that God has given us as He builds up His body, as He strengthens us in our relationship with Him through the time we spend together in the Word, and as He grows us as we get to share that Word with others. And Jesus is right there with us all along. He ascended to bless. He ascended to bless us. He ascended to bless His church. And now, since He's ascended, He is closer than ever, working for and through us in Christ. Amen. Now, may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's rise and confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed printed in the bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated as we take this opportunity to give our gifts of thanks and praise to God in the form of our offering. As the offering is gathered, please do fill out the friendship registers that are being handed down the aisle. As you put your information in there, it better allows us to do what God has called us together to do. Encourage one another on toward love and good deeds. Thank you.